Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Mike Conti will join us in about 40 minutes. Talk some Falcons, some college football with him. Obviously, Brandon Adams always stops by on Tuesdays as well. And we'll talk about that insane Georgia win on Saturday with BA. But good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. It's a wonderful Tuesday. Got a chance to listen to some of BA the other day. Yeah, he must have been yelling loud as hell. B.A.
Oh, is his voice going?
Oh, yeah, he real raspy. Real raspy. So we made sure my man B.A. get him some hot tea or something. Because I know he was probably hollering his ass off because it was an unbelievable game.
Did he sit in the press box?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought he did.
Uh-huh. But I'll tell you this, man. Watching the highlight tape from the game, I just love it. I do. It does not pain me that they do the Rocky Top in that slow woman's voice. Good, it's so great.
Yeah.
It's so great, especially when you win.
Oh, but, sure, yeah, rub it
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's what you're supposed to do.
You know, I don't rub in nothing. Okay, all right. That's not
lotion.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's not neither here nor there. You know me.
Leave it on your skin.
I'm a classy winner. I don't gloat. I don't DM you. I don't at you, and I don't do none of that stuff.
Retweet.
That was an accident. All right.
Okay.
It was an accident. Okay. All right. It was at that.
Did you unretweet it?
Because I don't know. I do all that.
Oh, okay.
I do, but I ain't feel like that, man. It was so much stuff going on Saturday night, man. I lost track of time.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, I lost track of time.
Who can keep track of all the tweets and retweets and all these things?
Yeah, man, I just lost track of time. But that's all right. You know, okay. I mean, they forgive me, you know, other than some of the people that got mad that I did it. But it's okay.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Yeah, that's why you don't read comments, Andy. That's why you don't read
comments. One of the smartest things that you can do in life is to not read the comments.
That's why you read the comments.
Just don't read the comments.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I mean, sure. Rub it in or whatever. Bask in it. It was incredible.
Definitely.
It was an incredible win. Obviously down by 8 in the fourth quarter so late. It was improbable, and then they missed the field goal, and then overtime and all that stuff. And it was just one of many really wild games on Saturday.
I need Jim's number. I meant to tell you that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, let me get
my father-in-law?
Yeah, let me.
For what purpose?
I just wanted to text him a selfie. Oh. I got to put my Georgia hat on.
And so that wouldn't be rubbing it in?
Oh, the Jim, yeah, because what he did to my baby.
Got it.
I know them his grandbabies.
Okay.
I know them his grandbabies. I know all that. But he know he ain't have the. He just went a little old boy.
He did. That's what he is. He's retired now, so he's got a lot of time to think about stuff like that and do stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm just thankful he's a Tennessee fan and not an Oregon fan because I can chuckle about it.
Right,
Tennessee, ha, ha, ha. If he did that to my children with Oregon gear, well, I don't know what would happen.
Oh, I'm telling you, there's nothing worse. I remember my Isaiah's aunt went to Auburn. Auburn beat Georgia one time, and my kids had to take pictures that are archived in Auburn shirts.
Why?
Because Auburn, that was the bet.
And you agreed to it.
Yes, I agreed to it.
Got it.
I don't think I did.
Well, I hope so.
I think that was Mama that agreed to that damn bet.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think because I wouldn't have ever agreed to that.
Why would you?
Guess what I'm saying? Like, I don't take pictures. I did one time with Sky when South Carolina beat Georgia, and I had to do the whole thing with it. But, you know, I kept the fire pit right next to it, did the video, threw the – But other than that,
the worst one I ever did was when I worked in Portland. I made a bet with our producer, who was a big Ducks fan, and they beat Washington, and I had to wear an Oregon jersey for a segment and recreate a famous call.
Uh-huh.
It was awful.
Oh, man.
Every single second of just awful.
Yeah, that's worse than
And that's the last time I did that. And
I can't do it no more, man. That's because I wouldn't ask you to do it.
I had no control over the game.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Why would I put a lifetime of embarrassment
over.
Because he will still text me that picture when Oregon beats Washington.
Yeah, I bet.
Like every year. Except for those couple when Kalen DeBoer was our coach and Michael Penix was our quarterback.
Right.
Those were good years.
Yes.
Yeah, since then, no.
But it's Apple Cup week because it's all in my algorithm.
Yeah.
It's all in my
really good.
Yes, it's in the algorithm right now.
I always like when the algorithm is doing good work.
Yes. But yeah, it's always all this Apple Cup stuff. And I'm just like, Washington's going to beat the hell out of Washington State.
That's probably right.
It's probably going to, beat the hell out of them. So, whatever. It should be a fun game.
Well, you don't have a game. Jordan doesn't have a game this weekend.
I know. A stress-free weekend.
Yeah, stress-free weekend.
Or a stress-free Saturday.
Recover from the Tennessee win and then get ready for Alabama the weekend after.
Yeah, how about that?
Again, like now that we're into conference play for the most part, like most of these teams are now into conference play, you start looking at, oh, what a great win for Texas A&M. Well, look at their next five games.
Yes.
Or, oh, Oklahoma did what they did in non-conference. Look at their conference schedule. Or obviously Georgia with what they've got coming down the pike. It is crazy, like, how difficult these conference schedules are going to be to navigate.
Yep.
And, you know, that's why it's so vital to get those big wins early. And I know Tennessee, obviously, is a conference game. But get these big wins early and get into SEC play or Big Ten play or ACC play in Georgia Tech's case. With a lot of momentum, as all of these teams have. And I don't know. It's been a really fun start to college football. Obviously, it's been surprising in some ways. I mean, a lot of what was predicted hasn't happened.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these great, supposedly great quarterbacks have not played great.
That's one of the big – I think that's – is that not the biggest one? You know, I mean, and I know it was a whole lot of arch hype and all those different things. And a lot of it had to do with the name.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it had to do with his quarterback at Texas. And it just hasn't panned out. Is he healthy? I'm not going to make excuses for him. But it's one of those situations where sometimes you need a reset sometimes.
Yeah.
You need a reset.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
don't know. It's not surprising to me that, like, the hype machine got swept up in it. We understand that.
It always happens.
And it's not surprising to me that people that predict things were wrong, because that happens a lot, too. But, like, at this point, it looks like Sark was wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, again, there's a lot of football left. They can get it right. They're still fine. But to have 114 against UTEP definitely looks bad. Klubnik, I mean, that's one that we had seen a lot from and hadn't played well yet.
How great was he? How good was he those
past 3 years? Well, I don't know, because I got tricked.
Yeah.
I picked him to win the Heisman, picked them to win the national championship,
yeah.
And I'm sitting over here now, so wrong.
Yeah. But I just think, like, you know, when you look at it, like, Mateer down in Oklahoma, how great he's been so far this year. Kid in Baylor, the quarterback at Baylor. Thank you, Sawyer Robinson. He's been really good this year. I mean, you know, there's been certain guys who you just didn't see on those lists. They probably was on the list, but down a little further. Lenore Sellers has been okay, but he got knocked out last game.
Yeah.
We knew that Pavia was going to be doing his thing, what he does.
Well, the two that are kind of crazy are the two that we just talked about, the game between Georgia and Tennessee. Like, Gunnar Stockton, we just didn't know.
Right.
And then, obviously, you know, there's some concern here, there, whatever, missed throws against Austin Peay. He was fantastic
on
Saturday.
He was outstanding.
And I don't think anybody, you know, maybe Carson Beck. There's a couple guys, but, like, I don't think anybody's has played better than Aguilar.
Oh, no.
Through the first 3 weeks.
No, he's been so great in that system.
And he wasn't even supposed to be there.
I know he got there this summer.
He was supposed to be at UCLA where the coach just got fired. Obviously, they trade spots. He goes to Tennessee and he didn't get there till after spring ball. So that's the thing that's wild, is like that some of the known names that were there, whether it's Klubnik, who we had seen play, or Arch with all the hype and others, kind of haven't lived up to it yet. And then you got Joey Aguilar, who App State led the nation in interceptions last year, mm-hmm. went to UCLA, came back, got there after spring. What's this going to look like? And he's been fantastic.
Yeah, man. He's been great, man. And going back to Carson, I'm not surprised that Carson's playing well, because I think Carson's a damn good quarterback. So not surprised by that at all. But, yeah, the Aguilar thing, because you just didn't know. But I'll tell you this, that system, it works. You know, but I mean, just overall, when you look at the hype of different teams, you know, I'm still waiting to see, will the real Penn State stand up? Will they haven't had a challenge? Now, next week, next week, they got Oregon, who I think right now is playing just as good as anybody, mm-hmm. man. And when you talk about, like, whipping somebody's ass because you're way better than them, that's what Dan Lanning has been doing. They've just been beating the hell out of people, man. And that offense is going. They got the right formula as far as the interior. It's Oregon, so they always going to have speed. You know, so, I mean, they are one. And, you know, that's going to be the one right there. Obviously, our game next week against Alabama is very, very big, too. But, yeah, when you look at the first test because this would be both of these teams' first test, in my opinion. Talking about Oregon and Penn State.
Oh, without question. No, I mean, they've both played fine to start the season, but they both haven't played anybody.
Right.
So they've done what they've been supposed to do. I think Oregon kind of did their message sending against Oklahoma State because Gundy decided to talk about by the way, what he said was true, but there's no reason to say it. Yeah. And also, you benefited from having a rich booster for a long time.
Yes.
But I guess Dan Lanning took that personally, and they decided to put it on him. They beat him by 66. They played okay last week against Northwestern, but they did what they had to do. It was 34-0, and they took their foot off the gas. No, we're going to learn a lot. It's September 27th, right? That Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You've got that game between Penn State and Oregon. Obviously, you've got Georgia and Alabama. There's a couple other really big ones as well that, you know, you're just going to kind of learn about who these teams are. Like we talked about last week with not really knowing exactly what to expect from Georgia. And, you know, now that the dust has settled a little bit going into that game, my expectation was, all right, Georgia's defense always plays really well against Tennessee's offense.
Yes.
Kirby's always got a good plan and players against what Heupel throws at him offensively. And I don't really know about Gunnar Stockton. They'll probably play conservative and it'll be low scoring. Wrong again. The Georgia's defense has never looked worse against Tennessee offense. And Gunnar Stockton was able to do pretty much, as much as he wanted throughout the entire game. Do you come out of that game worried about Georgia's defense?
No, not at all. Because I've seen good offenses do this to Georgia's team. You know what I mean? Like, you go back and look at what gives Georgia trouble most of the time. It's usually a dual threat quarterback, a first round type receiver. When you look at the games that they've had those kind of points totals in it.
Yeah. Like, when does that happen?
Ohio State.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember
Ohio State. That's
that
right. Game, playoff
Ohio,
game.
You had to play a game against Ohio State.
Yeah.
Those Nick Saban teams.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
Joe Burrow and LSU.
Yeah.
I'm missing one. Baker Mayfield and that team. I mean, certain offenses and certain teams, certain type style players give Georgia credit. But
those
at the same time,
those were special
they've
offenses.
They've all. But they've won them.
Most of them,
except for the ones with Alabama.
And LSU.
But most of them, they won. And so, yeah, I think the biggest thing about what Georgia does to do is they don't go in a tank when they're down. When it's adversity and all those different things, it's like, damn. It's like, all right, let's keep going, because we're going to find a way to get this to the fourth quarter and find a way to give ourselves a chance to win.
Yeah.
And those other two, the LSU game, went no happy.
Nobody was going to do anything.
Nobody was going to do anything.
And that's what we said coming out of that SEC championship game. So many Georgia fans were like, what does this mean for the state of the program? I was like, let's just see what LSU does in the playoffs.
Yes.
And then withhold judgment. Oh, they blew everybody out.
Right.
Sometimes that happens.
It does.
Sometimes there's just the perfect team, and that was the perfect team. I came away from Saturday, and I already felt like this about Georgia, but now you've seen it. They can beat anybody on a given Saturday, and there's probably 7 to 10 teams in the country that are also in that group.
Right.
Right. And Tennessee might be one of them.
Might be. Like,
Tennessee played awesome on Saturday, too, man.
They played great. I'm not going to take anything away from the Vols. They played an outstanding game. Just came down to a guy,
It's the same thing as the Ohio State game. Make the kick. Goes different.
Goes different.
They missed the kick.
We did.
So that's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't feel, and we said this going into the year, it didn't feel like the top shelf college football teams were as separated from the second tier. And it also didn't feel like the difference between the top shelf teams was noticeable this year either. I just think, Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, Miami probably, LSU, Tennessee put them in there with the way they played. There's just a handful of teams that, like, ball bounces this way, kicker makes a kick, this guy makes that play. All that to say, we're this far into college football, which isn't that far, but at least you're 3 games in. National championship is
wide open.
Wide open.
Sure
Heisman race, wide open. which is fun, I think. I think that makes it the most fun. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into what's trending here to kick off the show on a Tuesday. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, nothing new right now. You know, obviously he suffered the injury, didn't come back in the game yesterday with the hamstring. I'll have better information when we start practice and we get to those days. You know how those things are, kind of at the moment. So we'll get to that point and kind of figure out with AJ. Other than that, I think we came out the game pretty clean.
That's Raheem Morris yesterday talking about AJ Terrell and the fact that he tweaked the hamstring in that win over Minnesota on Sunday night and didn't come back in the game. And no timetable on that yet, as you heard him say. Who knows? I mean, hopefully it feels okay and he can play on Sunday against Carolina. If not, hopefully it's short term. And, you know, you got a little bit of depth there. Probably not one of your deepest position groups. But, hopefully he'll be okay soon.
Well, I mean, I think it's, I'm just going by what I saw. The way he grabbed it, it didn't seem like it was something short term.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
But I could be 100% completely wrong. And we'll just wait to get the official report and all those things because they don't have to do it. Right now. And so hopefully we'll know more about it tomorrow. But, I mean, it's a big deal when you lose him because of what he allows everybody else to do. He plays locked man-to-man all the time. And so for him not to be there, it's going to be an adjustment for Ra and the defensive coordinator and for Brick and all those guys because you're going to have to deal – you can't do the same thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you're going to – I'm not saying you're going to have to go all the way zone and stuff like that. You still could be aggressive and mix things in. But at the same time, who you were doubling before – you might have to double another guy. It's just so many different things when you lose a corner of AJ's caliber in your defense. But yet, you know, they still have got to find ways because what made his job easier is the fact that they were able to pressure the way they were able to pressure.
That's what I was going to say.
Yep.
Is if there's ever a time to lose your number one corner, maybe it's as your pass rush is starting to emerge a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go crazy.
No.
I hope that the pass rush is emerging. What they did on Sunday night was amazing, and I hope that they can continue to look like that throughout the year. But I'm not going to get over my skis about the fact that they have now found something or whatever. It's just been so long that they haven't had it. That one game with it, I'm not getting freaky with it, okay? Not getting freaky with the pass rush just off one game.
No.
Now, hopefully it's there. Hopefully it's there.
But they need, and I think the biggest thing, they're going against the Carolina team this week that just lost another lineman.
Yes.
Like, they're banged up on the offensive line also.
That's another thing I was about to say but then decided not to because of recent memory. It's like, if you were going to miss someone on defense, at least it's against these guys. But, I mean, you know, they put 44 up on them.
Yeah, they put 44, and I think they got better at the skill position players.
Yeah, they don't look like it
they
yet.
Don't look like it. It's a rusty
but
form.
But it's early.
But it is early, and we'll talk more and more about this as the week goes along. But, I mean, you got so much good built-up credit right now.
Yep.
Don't go to Charlotte and lose it all back.
No, don't do that.
Don't go to Charlotte and lose it all back.
No, don't do that. Like, the best thing you could do is, you know, there's not a lot of blowouts in the NFL, so no one's asking for that. But just a convincing, like, professional win over a bad football team.
Would be nice.
Would be really nice.
Because
Bryce Young looks not good.
No.
Like, he looked really bad at the beginning of the year last year. They benched him. He came back, and he looked better than he did.
Right.
So I think a lot of the reaction was, oh, he looks good now. No, he didn't. He looked better than he did. He looked good against the Falcons.
Damn sure did. Damn sure did.
He looked good against the Week 18 Falcons. But, like, you go look at the numbers in the final month of the season, he was still bottom 5-6 in the NFL in terms of most categories. It was just not the worst.
Right.
Like he had been. Like, he was the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, but I mean.
And then they benched him. And then he came back and he was slightly better. And it's like, by comparison, not so bad.
No, but I mean, just don't lose your good credit. That's all I'm saying.
Don't lose the good feeling.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Go to Charlotte against your will, obviously.
Yeah, they don't want to play a football game in Charlotte.
No, they prefer not to. All right, let's hear from some of the games last night, two Monday Night Football games last night. This is not how it ended, but it was cool to see this guy get in the end zone.
Second and 9 at the Bucs 25, Stroud under center. Hand off Chubb again, up the middle, 20, angling right, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Houston! Chubb to the house, and the Texans lead Tampa Bay!
Oh, so happy to see that, because
yeah,
you know how I feel about Nick Chubb. He ain't that guy, man. Nope. That burst is not where you saw on the earlier, they threw a screen pass to him. Just, you know, and I understand this man. I've seen bad knee injuries. He's had two of the worst I've seen. Remember the one in Tennessee on the sideline, that mm-hmm. one, and then this recent one he just had. Yep. You know, you hate it because he was still in the prime of his career. Not saying he can't get some back, but, it was great to see that last night, watching him run. Obviously, Baker just did Baker things, man.
Yeah, that's what happened at the end.
He was so damn good at the end, man. I mean, and to avoid sacks the way he did, because the pass rush was – they were coming.
Yep.
They were barreling down on him. And just that little – on fourth down, just a little shoulder, yep. Andy. A little dip of the shoulder allows the defender to run past him and allows Baker to get out and scramble.
Well, that's 2 weeks. They've done the same thing to the Falcons and the Texans, where team takes the lead late. Baker gets the ball back. You have him.
Yep.
It's 4th and 10.
They had him. You got him.
And he does the Baker thing, yep. where he sneaks out and he runs for a first down and everybody gets energized. And they drive the ball down the field. And you knew what was going to happen as soon as they got in the red zone.
Yes.
They were going to run all the time off the clock and they were going to get into the end zone and score. And they did. And that's 2-1 score wins now, like less than field goal wins or field goal wins for them in 2 weeks. They're 2-0.
Yep.
And that's kind of what Baker does.
Yeah, that's exactly what he does.
He's an irritating guy.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what he does, man. And they went there, got the win. They still can't protect CJ. That throw that he threw to Nico was, the throw to catch, though, to be able to get your feet down the way he did.
They're in trouble, man.
Yeah, because they can't. They can't protect him. And they traded off Laremy Tunsil, and they thought this young kid was going to be they're just still young at that line. And they got the one thing that you need to capitalize on, and that's a good quarterback, because I do think CJ Stroud's a good quarterback, on a rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually you have to pay him. Mm-hmm. Eventually you're going to have to come up off that bread.
Well, now this is year three, you know. I mean, you go from that to year three pretty quick.
Because yeah.
rookie year surprised everybody and played better than rookies have played and mm-hmm. all that, and they go to the playoffs. Last year, big step back. I wouldn't say it's entirely because of him. I would say it's because they couldn't protect him. And they tried to fix it in the offseason, and it just looks the same. Now they're 0-2, and yep. we know the story of teams that start the season 0-2.
They're in the South.
That's true.
They're in the South. I ain't ready to believe
Colts
in Daniel. I ain't ready to believe in Daniel. I ain't about to call him his nickname.
Yeah. But they're 2-0.
But they're playing good, man. Yeah. And that damn Ty Warren, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Any way they could get him the ball, they do.
Yep. Has he thrown a pass yet?
No.
No.
But he's coming.
Yeah, he's
coming. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that
it's
guy.
He's coming.
All right, let's hear. We haven't done a ton of this lately, but when good stuff happens, let's get into it. Here's Acuna going deep.
Ronald Acuna lifts this high and deep to left, and you can forget about it. A towering shot for Ronald Acuna Jr.
Beautiful. Nice to see.
Beautiful.
Kind of been a rough month and a half for Acuna, but he's been playing better for about a week now. Drake Baldwin with another one as well, just furthering his rookie of the year campaign. And nice to see Spencer Strider have a couple good starts.
That
in
was
a row
the
too.
Biggest thing for me, Bunk, was watching him go out there again and have another solid start. And we talked about just trying to build something into the offseason for him, confidence, whatever you want to call it, just going into into the offseason and working on whatever he needs to work on before next year's spring training. But, yeah, watching Ronald go yard. Obviously, Matt Olson, who is, you know, he's been so consistent this year. I know he had some rough patches, but I think for overall, mm-hmm. has there been a more consistent Brave at the plate all year?
I don't think so.
No. Just up and down. I know that he had, especially early on, had some issues or whatever, but I think he just had an outstanding season. And, you take the ones as you can. You take the ones like today. You got a doubleheader, which is going to be, starts at 1 o'clock soon here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, try to hit some home runs.
Nationals.
Don't get hurt.
Yeah.
Y'all listen to the broadcast last night?
No.
Missed it.
Oh. I was curious as to why Spence was wearing 21. So if anybody knows.
Who's wearing 21?
Out there in Texland. Should have sent us a.
His jersey?
Spencer Strider was wearing 21 last night.
Huh.
Oh, no, definitely noticed that.
Yeah. Unless I'm not mistaken, the same shaved face kid that
maybe they forgot it.
Yeah.
They may have. I was thinking it made a similar. Like, surely you're not going to go 99 to 21. Just you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
To try to change some mojo, but he don't really need to change a whole lot.
Yeah, maybe they forgot.
He shaved his face and changed his number.
Maybe he forgot. Yeah, I don't know. That could be.
Hey, lost several bets for LSU Clemson. Maybe he lost this bet for Tech Clemson.
I don't know. I don't know what it was. But yeah,
betting on his alma mater.
If anybody knows, let us know. That's interesting. I didn't see that. The Hawks traded Cody Kobe Bufkin last night.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be the backup point guard.
Everyone thought he was going to be the backup point guard.
Well, maybe there's somebody on the roster. Is Dyson Daniels been working on his handle in this FIBA, whatever tournament this is, where I saw Giannis was crying yesterday. I was like, what the hell? You won a medal for Greece.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
I was like, all right.
Yeah, but, no, I don't know. I
mean, they got to make a move, though, right?
I know. I think probably they do.
Who's out there?
You know who's out there.
I'm telling you, dude.
No, can't do it.
Why?
I mean, you can't walk it back, man. Oh, who are you talking about?
Who are you talking about?
I was talking about Cameron Payne.
Oh, definitely sure want to talk about him.
Okay, good.
But you know what? Yes, please do that.
No,
please bring it. Bring in Cam Payne and let us have him his first interview in Atlanta.
I mean, I might as well not come to work that day. I mean, there's no professional way to handle that. Either I lie to everyone or tell the truth and make it worse. Like, I can't do that.
He's still out there for real?
He is. I Googled it as soon as I saw that trade. As soon as I saw that trade, I was like, please tell me someone signed him and I didn't notice. No, he's a free agent.
Hey, guys, it's Friday. Me and Andy will be at Twin Peaks at Kennesaw, so come by and have lunch with us. Enjoy food, drinks, and scenic views as we get you ready for the big weekend in football. It's this Friday, 11 to 2, up in Twin Peaks of Kennesaw.
All right, Mike Conte will join us next. We'll get his thoughts on what the Falcons did on Sunday night. Some college football conversation as well. Don't go anywhere. Oh, we'll ask him about the Kobe Bufkin trade, too, and see what he thinks about that and what their plan is at backup point guard. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Tuesday, late morning, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Get back into everything that happened in week two, the National Football League, and make sure you are caught up on both of the Monday Night Football games last night. I know we talked a little about the Bucs win over the Texans. The Chargers also beat the Raiders late night. How late did you stay up for that one?
Oh, I stayed up till the beginning of the fourth.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. I made the first quarter, and I was like, I don't know.
Oh, I can't
do this.
I got that nap I was saying about yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I knocked some of that tide off. I got like 35 minutes.
Good. So we'll get into that. We'll get into some college football coming up at 12:20 as well. Mike Conte joins us at this time on Tuesdays every single week to talk about all kinds of different topics, Falcons, college football. Hawks made some news last night, which we'll get
to in
just
a minute. A little surprising,
yeah.
Didn't see that coming.
Weird timing. How are you, Mike?
Good. How are you?
Good. Let's just start with big picture. Really nice win for the Falcons on Sunday night against Minnesota. Two games in, what would you sort of hang your hat on confidence-wise? Like, what do you feel most sure of with this team?
Yeah, most sure of that they're going to be able to, and I know the Tampa game was a little bit of a struggle, but I think game state might have affected it. I think they're going to be able to run the ball pretty effectively on just about anyone. As they proved on Sunday night, they're not going to have six sacks every game like they had Sunday night. They're not going to have four takeaways like they had Sunday night. But I think with Robinson, you know that you're going to have a pretty honest chance of being able to run the ball on pretty much everyone. And I thought the offensive line did a much, much better job run blocking on Sunday compared to the Tampa game, although some of that might be matchup dependent. But if the defense plays at the level that they played at this past Sunday night consistently, Falcons are going to be a very, very hard team to beat this year.
Have you ever seen – I'm not going to want to say because me and Andy have been here. Is that the best they've ever played in your – since you've seen them play?
Okay. Yeah, I looked it up.
I was like, I've never seen them play that good before.
I looked it up. Less than 200 yards allowed with 6-plus sacks and 4-plus takeaways. The last time the Falcons did that was 2002.
Whoa.
The last time any NFL team did that was week 15 of the 2023 season.
Damn.
So, yeah, I mean, statistically, Absolutely. The 2002 game, the last time they did that, they beat the Panthers 41-0.
Right.
And I actually had some people tweet at me saying they were at that game, and it could have been like 90-0 if the Falcons wanted to really pour it on that day. It was that kind of day. So very, very dominant performance on Sunday.
Well, and that, you know, that's sort of the, if you watched it, that's how it felt, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's what they were doing to Minnesota's offense. They couldn't do anything against them. They were getting J.J. McCarthy on the ground, which, by the way, it seems like they banged him up too, so he's probably not even going to play this week. And then they were taking the ball away. And the final score is pretty big margin, but it certainly felt like it could have been bigger.
Had
they turned some of those red zone chances into touchdowns. So flip side, obviously the thing you're most confident in 2 weeks in, what's the thing you want to see get cleaned up?
Got red zone, obviously. I mean, you've got to finish drives with touchdowns and not field goals. And that was the problem in week one as well. That's really been, I think, a consistent problem for the Atlanta Falcons over the last decade is just they look like the 99 Rams between the 20s. And then they just, something happens in that red zone. And I think a lot of people are assigning way too much blame to the offensive coordinator and the scheme and the play calling for that. I think it maybe there's a little teeny bit of predictability that does come into what the Falcons do in the red zone, but you need your receivers to get open and you need your offensive line to execute. One thing that I think is very, very encouraging and has exceeded my expectations, Penix, while he didn't have a big statistical night on Sunday, because he didn't have to, they were able to run the ball effectively, but Penix is making very high-level throws. Considering that was only his fifth career start, I still believe that maybe Penix is a little bit further ahead of where I projected him to be at this point. So I am very, very encouraged that they have a quarterback who can make plays in the red zone. And he made plays in the red zone at the end of the Tampa game. It was a struggle, but he made plays. I do feel like this red zone thing is going to correct itself at some point.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned yesterday, you know, it was a couple of them. The one route where Kyle was coming open on the corner route, like you stick with it for a long time. If you can find a way to get that ball to Mooney, going, rolling to his left, things like that. So I think it's just really, I'm with you on the, it's just
little things.
Little things are away from it. The kicking situation. And I mean, I know we had the, you know, 5 for 5 and all those different things. They called it good. That's all that matters. But more or less, Mike, the kicking game, the coverage and everything. And we mentioned that last week on the show. How big was that to allow them to be able to, first of all, put them in bad field position?
Well, that is where they improved the most week over week, I thought, was right. Kick coverage. You know, and the cliche is teams improve the most between their first and second game. The Falcons improved in a lot of different phases week one to week two. But the kick coverage unit, Marquise Williams, he did a heck of a job this past week getting that fixed. Because Randy's right. You know, Minnesota was starting with poor field position most of the night. The kick coverage team even generated a takeaway late in the game. Like, you cannot ask for anything more from the kick coverage team. I think part of it, too, though, if you look at kickoffs, being able to not kick the ball out of bounds
right. Is
big.
Right. Central to the kick coverage team being better.
It's such a tricky little thing now because, like, you don't want to kick it long because then it's at the 35.
Yeah.
Don't want to kick it short because if you kick it too short, it's not in the landing zone.
That's
obviously,
right. You
can't kick it out of bounds because then they get it at the 40. So it's like it's almost like a chip shot in golf. You got to aim for the right distance and then hope they take it out.
Yeah. And as far as the field goals are concerned, like, I'm happy Romo went 5 for 5. He very nearly missed 2. So I don't. And 2 short ones, the long ones.
So we ain't out of the woods, what you're saying?
I don't think we're out of the woods. I don't. I hope I'm wrong. And, you know, I'm sure over more time I'll probably feel a little bit better about this. But I thought it was informative that Raheem Morris said there was a 90% chance that he's going to kick this Sunday.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, you're not going back to coup. So what's the 10% that we're all kind of stuck on right now? I'm stuck on it because I do think he missed the first one. You got a good call there. He very nearly missed the second one. He did make the final 3. And I guess we're really being nitpicky here. But I say that
ain't no nitpicky.
I mean, well, kind of.
I mean,
he probably missed the first one. I think that's okay to say.
I know Lily had stuff Sunday afternoon, so I don't know how many of the early games you got to see. Mm-hmm. Watching NFL all day on Sunday and seeing kickers routinely mm-hmm. drill 50-plus, and in the Cowboys' case, 60-plus field goals, and making it look routine. Yeah. That's what I want to see. I want to see a 35-yard field goal look routine. And maybe Romo will get there. You know, I'm rooting for him.
Right.
Local guy. I mean, he's ours now, so we got to root for him. But I don't think we're totally out of the woods yet. I just thought it was really interesting that that Raheem did leave the door open for him to not be the kicker on Sunday. I don't know why he did that.
I do wonder what that 10% chance is. It's obviously not Younghoe Koo. I wouldn't.
No, it can't be. No.
Mike Conte joins us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. You said we were talking before the segment just about this upcoming game against the Panthers. Called it a little tricky. What makes you feel that way about this one?
Like you said, the Falcons never play well against Carolina, ever. They beat them a lot, but they never play well at field, especially up there. You know, they've won a lot of games up in Charlotte, but they haven't played awesome, like a complete four quarters, all three phases up in Charlotte. And a lot of those games, for whatever odd reason, tend to be low scoring. Mm. And I think what we saw Sunday night is even though the Falcons' defense was dominating that game, the game played out in a way where Minnesota was one play away from taking the lead most of the night. And, you know, one bust, one big play for Bryce, and you can find yourself in trouble. The other thing that scares me is Bryce has tended to elevate a little bit against the Falcons. And we were talking about the game that he played in Arizona. He finished that game strongly. So it's a tricky game. I think a lot of fans have automatically just chalked this up as a W, and I'm not sure it is. Now, it is funny how things play out in the NFL because I think we were maybe carrying low expectations into the Washington game. Well, now they have a quarterback injury.
Yes.
And it's interesting, if you look at the Falcons over the next month, two of the quarterbacks they were supposed to see are injured. Washington and Brock Purdy.
Yep.
Brock Purdy's injured. So things work out in very unpredictable ways.
It's the NFL, man.
Could see Marcus Mariota at some point this year.
Could very well.
Please stop. But,
that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it
was great.
There's a Ritter who almost beat us with the last throw, too.
Well, true.
Mike, this weekend, two big – I mean, obviously, we were happy. All the local universities, everybody won their game.
Yeah.
But the big two, obviously, Georgia going up to Tennessee, and the big win for Georgia Tech.
Huge win for Georgia Tech. I think their biggest from a national standpoint, it maybe since 1990, because they've had a lot of big wins. Yeah. Like, I want to be very clear about that. But none of them have really put them in the national picture. Georgia Tech is absolutely in the national picture now. They will be favored in every one of their remaining games until they play Georgia. Okay? Abe and I were talking about it. Now, there's a phrase called Clemsoning, you know, and Clemson grew out of that. But Clemson used to have that one, like, Wake Forest game or NC State game or Duke game that they would trick, and they weren't supposed to. And I just hope Georgia Tech can stay out of that trap because they're going to be favored in every one of the remaining games other than Georgia. As far as what the Dogs did up in Tennessee, really good win for them. I think the game was playing out in a way where if Tennessee makes that field goal at the gun, it does nothing to harm Georgia as far as their playoff hopes go. But now this really bolsters them. I think we might need to have a slight reevaluation on how we rank the teams within the SEC right now. Because I think LSU got a lot of credit for a close win at Clemson.
True.
Clemson now has shown through three games, including the game they played against Troy, that they are not very good. Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe we need to just calm down on LSU, just especially like they solid win against Florida. I'm not gonna, ding them too much because of what their margin of victory was. But Texas A&M and Auburn are starting to enter this conversation now, especially Texas A&M. I mean, if you are evaluating everyone in the SEC and quality of victory to this point, I think you've got to put Texas A&M's win at Notre Dame right up there. And I understand Notre Dame's 0-2, but it's a really, really close 0-2. You know, they were competitive against Miami and you know, really had a good chance to beat Texas A&M. My whole point is the SEC just it looks even more like a gauntlet than usual, and that's saying a lot. And we haven't even gotten to Oklahoma yet.
Right? Yes.
So it's going to be a long, tough year
now, that's
coming
what,
up.
That's what we were saying is, like, obviously so many teams have really nice wins early. Georgia Saturday over Tennessee, A&M over Notre Dame, yep. LSU over Florida, and also over Clemson. But then you look at their next five games, and it's like, oh my god!
Well,
like, good luck if you go 3-2 in those games. That's incredible.
Look at Florida's next five.
Yeah,
yeah. Everyone's saying fire Billy Napier. Well, give the guy who's going to fill in for him a little bit of a chance. Like Florida's got a really good chance of being 1-7 or 8. You know, and I don't think they're nearly that bad. It's just the way that the schedule's playing out for them.
Why did the Hawks trade Kobe Bufkin last night?
Weird, right?
Pretty weird timing that for an NBA trade.
Caught me really off guard. Because what have we been talking about really for the last 2 years? The Hawks, I don't think they figured out backup point guard yet, and that's a really important position. And it felt like prior to his injury that the Hawks had a lot of eggs in the Kobe Bufkin basket, being the primary backup to Trae Young. So they traded him, and on top of it, it doesn't feel like they got really anything substantial for him. I think they got cash, right? Not even a draft pick?
Yeah, cash.
I don't know. Unless there's something I'm missing or just not understanding, that feels like maybe the Hawks could have done a little bit better. However, he is coming off basically a season-long injury, and maybe they have analyzed this enough to know that Kobe's future in Atlanta just really is not very bright. This means you're going to probably see a lot of Vete Krejci at point guard this year for the Hawks.
Oh, okay.
So
there's your answer right there. There's my answer,
which I love,
because I don't think it'll be. You do?
No.
Oh, okay. So, what? No. Hold on. What?
Yeah. I mean, he's all
right.
He's fine.
but also, like,
I don't think you're playing Kennard at point guard.
Not going to sit here and I know you're not doing this either. And talk about, like, Kobe Bufkin being traded being the thing that derails.
No.
Because first of all, no one really knows. He's played a little and he's been okay, but he's not, like, you know.
I'm just surprised.
Me too. Yeah. Totally.
I just was not expecting that. They're going to open training camp, I think, 2 weeks from today.
Right. That's what's so odd about it.
Yeah. You don't see too many teams making trades on September 15th.
No, you don't.
So, but if this gives Kobe a chance to play, then it's a good thing for the player. And you got to keep that in mind, too.
Mike, thank you.
Appreciate you, Mike.
Right, appreciate it, as always. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. First hour of the show, as always, brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.